John Batchelor, a squatter leaving a Russian claim of an embassy grounds in Canberra, Australia. The subhead for NBC, a lawyer for Russia, said a man who left the site of the proposed embassy after occupying it for more than a week was a security guard. This requires an explanation. I have Scott Maiman of CBS News, who used to spend a lot of time at Canberra. Scott, Russia says that's their land, and he was squatting on it to make the claim that is now rejected by your courts. What does Russia want with that land? What did they want to do with it? They were making such noise about it. Good day to you.
G'day, John. They were getting a lease on that land to buy the land in the future, which is situated right next door to the Australian Parliament House. For years, they had that land but did nothing with it. Suddenly, just at the end of last year, they decided to build a new embassy on it. The details were released, and the Australian authorities said, no, you can't build an embassy right next door to Parliament House. It's too close together. There are security issues at risk here. And it was moved and through the court system, as well as an act of Parliament to stop the Russians having that land. And Russia didn't like that. Just this week, they tried to go to the High Court here in Australia to say, we want that land. We want to build our embassy there. And of course, during that process, one of the Russian diplomats, as we found out, a security guard, decided to squat on that land. It may be well versed in the United States that you have greater protectionisms if you're a squatter on land, not so much in Australia. And once all of this was realized, the squatter left voluntarily. That land is, at the moment, there is no use for it at this point in time. But the plans for Russia to develop its second embassy right next door to the Australian Parliament House, out the window now.
We go to New Zealand. The report from the BBC. New Zealand seeks to exterminate predators to save native birds, in particular the ship rat, a.k.a. the Norway rat. Do they believe that they can wipe out a rat population completely?
Yeah. I know. It's like something from one of those thriller movies, isn't it? New Zealand launched a massive anti-rat mobilization. It's all because rats run rampant in New Zealand,
right?
According to the figures. They've eaten 26 million birds a year. The country only has 36 rat catchers, so they're arming themselves with peanut butter and jelly and a bit of poison as well. They're hoping to eradicate the rats by the year 2050. Peanut butter and jelly, John. Okay. I don't know.
They've declared war on the Norway rat. New Zealand much in the news because of conversations with China. That is very unpopular in the U.S. Congress, and your prime minister has been participating in arranging alliances in the Indo-Pacific and make it very clear that Australia regards China as a military and political threat. Is New Zealand different than the mainland? Do they speak out in favor of China? What do we know?
Let's put this in perspective. The Prime Minister, Chris Hipkins, he's only been in the job a few months. And in a few months, New Zealand is going to an election. And of course, he was replacing a very popular Prime Minister, although the party itself didn't have the numbers to win the next election. Chris Hipkins seems to be going out of his way to create some positivity during his reign. It might be all too late, but to develop a friendship with China at the moment is causing concern in Australia. I mean, China has now signed a cooperative arrangement with New Zealand, declaring New Zealand its friend. They're talking about e-commerce, the green economy. They've made declarations to strengthen trade between the two countries. All of this is happening very suddenly, and so I can only look at this as, well, he's getting in just months before an election in New Zealand. Right. He's probably hoping to get some popularity going through all of this. But what's not been revealed is what is this friendship with China? How did it come about in just weeks when even Australia has had to really look at what they say in their They're trying to get good with China. Yeah.
China's been threatening you for some time.
Yeah.
Threatening to cut off trade, threatening to close your shops, military threats against Darwin. All right, now, Chris Hipkins is also in trouble. Nothing to do with China. How did he get into such hot water?
Well, he seems to be going, you know, beating his chest and saying, I am the prime minister, boom, boom, boom. I am the leader, boom, boom, boom. I need this to happen. And this is what's really got a lot of New Zealanders peeved and a lot of people around the world. In his trip to China, he's on the Royal New Zealand Air Force plane, a 757, which continually breaks down. And it's known to break down for years. So what he's decided to do is have a backup plane following this 757. I mean, how much fuel is he using? What's he doing to the environment? Why is he doing this? Is he big-noting himself? Of course, if the plane breaks down, what's wrong with trying to get on a commercial airliner back home if something's wrong? But this guy is going out of his way, forcing issues in the limelight. And again, I'm saying this, it's just months before the election. Let's put two and two together.
Mining giant BHP is calling on the Australian federal government to remove restrictions on nuclear power, claiming this could play a key role in helping the country actually achieve its renewable energy target. Is the public ready to permit nuclear power in Australia?
Yeah, this has been an ongoing issue, even when I was a boy. Australia has been against nuclearization. It's been against nuclear warships. It's been against nuclear power plants. This, a lot of it stems back to the 1970s and 80s. Of course, we remember the accidents involving Chernobyl. We remember the accidents, Three Mile Island. And this still plays at the forefront of the Australian mindset. We don't want this here in Australia. However, BHP has made a very good argument here. It's one of the biggest earning companies in mining in Australia, as you know. It's part of decarbonisation of Australia's electricity system. We want to be greener in the future. One of the ways is switching to nuclear power, which Australia is still against. But BHP is saying, hey, it's a lot safer now. The people have learned from the mistakes of the 1970s and 80s. It's far more reliable and it is safe. And it is something well worth looking at again. Australia still supports the ban against nuclear power in Australia, but it is something which BHP says, look, it's time to move forward. Let's review it all.
Fitbits. You tell me there's a trend of Fitbits at your hospitals. How so? How does it work? We've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, it's a new study. I mean, Fitbit, you're always reminded and you get peeved about being reminded you need to walk more. Well, if you're in the hospital, you can voluntarily be part of this program and it helps you in your hospital recovery. People have been found, they get out and walk more, part of the steps activity, and they're not staying as long in the hospital system, all because of Fitbits and other kinds of devices that increases your chances of walking again, recovering, and getting out of hospital earlier.
Scott Maiman, he's in Brisbane, Queensland. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bat.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.